Warren Buffett's value investing strategy made him one of the richest people in history. Now, we all know tech stocks have done really well until recently, and growth has been in favor for a long time. And a lot of experts are wondering if value investing is dead. Today, we're just going to talk a little bit more about why you should have value investments in your portfolio to help you build lasting wealth in any market environment. So for the sake of time, let's dive right into it. Well, welcome back, any current listeners as well as any new listeners out there. This season of the Wealth Decisions podcast, we're diving into the season of Do You Own X? And the last two episodes, we talked about whether you own developed markets in your investment portfolio or emerging markets. Today, we're going to talk about value investments. And a lot of people, when I say value investments, they don't particularly understand what that truly means. And let's just start with the story. And imagine it's 2008 and you're looking at two companies. The first is a trendy tech startup. They have really explosive growth, but they don't have any profits. Their stock price has tripled in the last year and everyone's talking about them. The second is a boring insurance company. It's been around for over 50 years and their stock dropped 30% because they missed their quarterly estimates. But their fundamentals are rock solid. So most investors would jump at the tech company and with fear of missing out and want to participate in that growth. But value investors, they're going to take a serious look at that insurance company. Why? Because value investing isn't about following trends and it isn't about following the crowds. It's about trying to find undervalued companies that are temporarily down in price. I remember Saul Pinnell. He was famous for the Hartford Capital Appreciation Fund, and he had one of the best track records. And he stood up in front of a bunch of advisors, and he talked about his strategy for finding companies. And he talked about and used the analogy of a dented soup can. Now, if you went to the grocery store and you saw a bunch of dented soup cans, you probably could approach the manager and ask for a percentage off on that soup can because it has a dent in it. But inside, the soup is still good. And that's what value investing is, finding soup cans that are dented, but inside, the soup is still good. And here's what makes investing in value truly valuable. You're buying companies with strong fundamentals, consistent cash flow, really, really healthy profit margins, and low debt levels. You know, think of it like buying a rental property. You want something that generates reliable income, not just some nice property that looks pretty. Second, value investing gives you some type of margin of safety. If you, for instance, calculate a company is worth $100 per share, you don't buy it at 95. You wait until it hits 70 or 80. And Warren Buffett has made this practice of value investing kind of mainstream. That's how he invests in companies. Right now, Warren Buffett has billions of dollars in cash because he can't find any really good values. So let's just break down this with some numbers. Let's just say you're looking at two companies. You know, company A is priced at $50 per share, has a PE ratio of 50 with revenue growth of 100% year over year. They have negative profit margin and negative cash flow. Company B is priced at $30 per share, has a PE ratio, price to earnings multiple of 12, revenue growth of 8% year over year, profit margins of 15%, and positive and growing cash flow. You know, company A might look exciting because they're growing their revenue twice the rate of their PE ratio. But company B has the characteristics of a value investment. It's generating real cash flow and growing their revenues at a reasonable price. But here's where most investors get it wrong. They equate investing in value investments as maybe boring or bad. Value investing requires patience and emotional discipline. You might get in a value investment, and whether you're buying an individual stock or an ETF that buys value types of stocks, you might be in that and underperform. Value investors have not been rewarded as much the last couple of years because growth has been in favor. But value investing is like buying groceries on sale. You're getting the same quality product just at a better price. And over time, those savings compound and help build your wealth over time. And this is exactly why we're talking about this today. You can invest using a value strategy through mutual funds and ETFs. You know, value investing isn't just for stock pickers like Warren Buffett. It's a philosophy that can transform your financial picture, reduce volatility, give you more consistent dividend income. And if you're approaching retirement, having a bigger chunk in equity income type investments or dividend producing investments is going to help smooth the ride and give you a more consistent income and allow you to take less from capital appreciation of your portfolio and more from dividends. Think about, you know, the market turbulence we've seen in recent years. You know, during market corrections, value investments tend to drop less and recover a little bit faster than growth because usually there's a flight to quality, and value investments are high quality companies that have been around a long time that pay consistent dividends. And regardless of market conditions, when you have 2.5%, 3%, 3.5% coming in dividends that can either be reinvested or used as your withdrawal strategy, it can really help you build and keep more of your wealth over time. So let's break down just some of the advantages. I've brought up some of them in this episode, but first, you get reduced volatility. Value funds typically invest in established companies with strong balance sheets. These companies are not going to soar. You're not going to have FOMO, but they also don't crash as hard during market corrections. For example, during the COVID-19 market crash, the Vanguard Growth ETF was down about 30%. But the Schwab U.S. Dividend Equity ETF, which is a value-based ETF, went down about 20% from the peak to the trough. And during the tech sell-off in early 2024, value funds outperformed growth funds by over 10% in just a few months. Having some value in your investment strategy is really important to smooth the ride out and give you the best chance to reach your long-term goals. Second, I mentioned this numerous times, but you get dividend income. Value-oriented funds or ETFs tend to hold companies that distribute profits to shareholders through dividends rather than reinvesting everything for growth. And these dividends can provide a cushion during market downturns and can be reinvested to really accelerate your wealth building over time. So let me just share a hypothetical example. Imagine two investors with $100,000 each. Investor A puts everything in a growth-focused fund with no dividend yield. And investor B chooses a value-oriented ETF with a 3% dividend yield. Now, after 20 years, assume an equal annual price appreciation of 7%, investor A would have about $387,000. But investor B, who reinvested all their dividends, would have about $522,000. That's about a difference of $135,000 simply from the power of dividends. And obviously that's assuming identical price appreciation, which ignores values potential outperformance during market downturns. Third, value funds provide kind of built-in diversification. Instead of trying to pick the next Amazon or Apple, you're investing in dozens or hundreds of companies that professional managers have analyzed for some type of value characteristic. This spreads your risk and really removes some of the emotional pressure of, you know, picking individual stocks. Not all of us want to try to pick individual stocks and certainly don't have the knowledge and expertise of someone like Warren Buffett. So what exactly should you look for in a value-oriented fund or ETF? The first key metric is the price-to-earnings ratio, or PE. Value funds typically have a lower average PE than the broader market. The S&P's PE is currently around 23, but a lot of ETFs that are value-focused might have an average PE somewhere around 13 to 16. The second metric you want to look for is dividend yield. Most value funds or ETFs often yield 2 to 4% compared to a growth fund, which will typically yield much lower than 1%. And these dividends will provide steady income regardless of market conditions. If the markets are flat for a year, but you have a dividend-focused value ETF in your portfolio that's kicking out 3% in dividends, well, you've made money for the year regardless of whether the market is flat. Just be careful of ETFs that have dividend yields above 4. It's very hard to build a portfolio of stocks with a dividend yield above 4, unless you're using leverage or overweighting the portfolio in certain industries with high yields. Those types of ETFs that have dividend yields of 5, 6, 7%, they're focusing a lot of the portfolio on one or two industries. And it might be focusing on real estate investment trusts or utilities or high-yielding energy companies. So don't just focus on yield and think it's a good value investment because the yield is 6%. Those can be riskier types of value ETFs. And so avoid anything above 4% when it comes to a true value type approach. And the third thing you want to look at is the expense ratio. This is what the fund or ETF charges you annually to manage that ETF or mutual fund. For value investing to work, it's really compounding magic. Keeping costs low is really, really crucial. So look for funds with expense ratios under 0.5 and under 0.25 for ETFs. Remember, value investing through funds or ETFs isn't about getting rich quickly. It's about building more reliable wealth with less stress and more predictability. The real power comes from combining reduced volatility, consistent dividends, and the compounding over time. Benjamin Graham, and the father of value investing and Warren Buffett's mentor, put it perfectly. The essence of investment management is the management of risks, not the management of returns. By using some type of value-oriented fund or ETF with part of your portfolio, you're managing risk while positioning yourself for growth and income. And it's the strategy that will help you sleep more soundly at night while your money works harder than you do. So that's it for today's episode. Do you own value investments in your portfolio? Would love if you pre-ordered my new book, Momentous Decisions, 7 Steps to Better Health, More Wealth, and a Richer Life. This has been a long lifetime goal of mine to put out a book. It's everything I've learned about habit change, health, wealth, and life, all wrapped up in one book. with a 7-step plan to help you live a life closer to exceptional. If you'd like to pick up a copy of the book, you can go to momentouswealthadvisors.com/book. And at the bottom of that page, there'll be a pre-order link, and it'll be out sometime in early August. And if you like this episode, please rate the episode, make some comments, and hit the notification bell to get updated on future Wealth Decision podcasts. And please, if you could, share it with a family member or a friend. My goal with the Wealth Decisions podcast is to reach over 100,000 people by the end of the year in the Twin Cities and beyond, so that people can make better wealth decisions to live a richer life. If you'd like to schedule a discovery call with me, you can go to my website at momentouswealthadvisors.com, and I'll spend some time to get to know you a little bit and find out if I might be able to steer you in the right direction or help you with your financial future. And once again, thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.